Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, June 22nd, Pope Francis renews his appeal to ethically use artificial intelligence. He calls for working toward peace when meeting European bishops. And in Gaza, strikes cause many casualties. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellana-Lubov. Turning to our top story in the Vatican, Pope Francis has again addressed the opportunities but also the dangers that come with artificial intelligence. He did so today when addressing a conference organized by Centesimus Annus Pro Pontifice, the Vatican Foundation. Let's hear more in this report from Lisa Zingarini.
In his remarks to the Centesimus Annus Foundation, the Pope thanked those before him for their commitment to exploring how artificial intelligence can help promote human dignity and be at the service of the disadvantaged. The Pope likewise warned against the tool acting autonomously, stressing that artificial intelligence is and must remain a tool in human hands. Moreover, the Holy Father warned against artificial intelligence perpetrating a throwaway culture, favouring inequality and making decisions outside of its purview. As he encouraged them to continue examining the true purpose of artificial intelligence, he asked, "Does it serve to satisfy the needs of humanity, to improve the well-being and integral development of peoples, or does it rather serve to enrich and increase the already high power of the few technological giants, despite the dangers to humanity? Since the future of humanity will be played out on the front of technological innovation," he stated, "we must not miss the opportunity to think and act in a new way, with mind, heart and hands, in order to direct innovation towards a configuration centred on the primacy of human dignity. This," he underscored, "is not up for discussion." As the Pope encouraged Centesimus Annus to boldly continue its commitment in this regard, he specifically applauded its having launched a second joint research project between the Foundation and the Strategic Alliance of Catholic Research Universities, insisting, "Please keep me informed about this." I am Lisa Zingarini.
Pope Francis also met on Saturday with the presidency of the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, or COMECE. During the meeting, the Holy Father discussed a number of topics, including the ongoing war in Ukraine and the outcome of the recent European elections. After the audience, Vatican Radio's Lisa Zingarini spoke with Archbishop Antoine Erard, who serves as vice president of COMECE, and shared the commission's views on the challenges facing the European institutions at this critical time. He also spoke about the roles that churches and other religious communities can play in helping Europe rediscover its founding spirit of peaceful unity, also to confront Russia's war in Ukraine.
Europe is too weak, and we have to strengthen the voice of Europe. Then I think the role of the Church is always to be in favor of dialogue inside the European Union, because we have different opinions, and outside, and especially in this context of the war with the Russian aggression of Ukraine. The Pope told us also that the Church has always to be the one who is building bridges. We are not a political party, and we have to support a hope message. And I think this is what is lacking today in Europe. Many people are just looking for small goals, and they don't see enough that we have all together to be a message for many other countries. This was the principle at the beginning of the construction of Europe, and we have to find it again. And this is what we can say the soul of European Union. So we have to show that our life and our way of thinking the problems are always wider than the immediate interests of different countries. And I think the Church, in the fact that we have legal and recognized place in the discussions in the European Union. It means that we have just to give a wider attention to what we can say and how the churches are helping to find a way of a common good for Europe.
And do you think collaboration also with other religions, do you think that is important?
Of course, at the European level we have already links very closed with the other Christians. It's important just to have a more precise dialogue on European topics with other great religions. We spoke about that to the Pope, and he encouraged us, saying that it would be a good idea, because it means that we can together bring opportunities to work for this common good of the European Union.
That was Archbishop Antoine Erard, who serves as Vice President of Comesse, speaking to Vatican Radio's Lisa Zingarini. Turning to the Holy Land, the International Committee of the Red Cross says its offices in Gaza have been damaged by shelling and that several people have died. But since the report of Nathan Morley, which we will listen to in a moment, was filed, there were further developments amid the war. At least 42 people were killed in Israeli attacks on districts of Gaza City in the north of the Palestinian enclave on Saturday, the director of the Hamas-run government media office said. One Israeli strike on houses in Al-Shati, one of the Gaza Strip's 8 historic refugees camps, killed 24 people, Reuters reported, while another 18 Palestinians were killed in a strike on houses in the Al-Tufa neighborhood. The Israeli military had released a brief statement saying a short while ago an IDF fighter jets struck 2 Hamas infrastructure sites in the area of Gaza City. Let's still now listen to that report of Nathan Morley on those killed and the damage done to Red Cross in Gaza.
According to reports, Israeli artillery fire killed 22 people who had sought shelter around its compound. In a statement, the Red Cross claimed heavy-caliber projectiles landed within meters of their office and residences on Friday afternoon. However, the Israeli Defense Forces spokesman said that initial inquiries suggested there was no indication it had conducted out a strike in the area, but said the situation was being reviewed. The Israeli military launched a campaign to destroy Hamas, the Palestinian armed group, in response to an unprecedented attack on southern Israel in October last year, during which about 1,200 people, mostly civilians, were killed and 251 others were taken hostage. Since then, more than 37,551 people have been killed in Gaza, according to the territory's Hamas-run health ministry. Its figures do not differentiate between civilians and combatants, but it had reportedly identified 14,680 children, women and elderly people who are among the dead. In another development, the UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres has warned that the spiraling hostilities between Israel and the Lebanese Islamist movement Hezbollah risk triggering a catastrophe for the region and beyond. And in a separate development, the Palestinian presidency has welcomed Armenia's recognition of the state of Palestine. The Palestinian presidency expressed its thanks to Armenia for the step. Norway, Ireland and Spain made a coordinated announcement last month declaring their recognition of Palestine as a state. As it stands, over 140 countries recognize Palestine. Separately, over 30 UN experts have called on states and companies to put an end to the transfer of weapons and ammunition to Israel. Such transfers could constitute serious violations of human rights and international humanitarian law and risk state complicity in international crimes, according to the experts. In a joint statement, special rapporteurs, independent experts, and working groups of the UN Human Rights Council urged countries and arms manufacturers to cease the sale, transfer, and diversion of arms, munitions, and other equipment to Israel, even if they are conducted under existing export licenses. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And now to the war in Ukraine. Stefan Boss reports with the latest news in the suffering country.
Ukraine was struggling Saturday with a new wave of rolling blackouts after relentless Russian attacks on energy infrastructure that started 3 months ago. Officials say the attacks took out half the country's power generation capacity. Ukraine's Air Force said that in its eighth major attack on energy facilities overnight, Russia fired 16 missiles and 13 Shahed drones, while Kiev claimed its air defenses intercepted 12 of the 16 missiles and all 13 drones launched by Russia, there was still extensive damage. State-owned power grid operator Ukrnetgro said the strikes damaged equipment at facilities in southeastern Zaporizhia, injuring two workers and the western Lviv region. Yet with no significant changes reported at the 1,000-kilometer or 600-mile front line since Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, both sides aim at infrastructure targets. Moscow's overnight attack on Zaporizhia and Lviv follows Ukrainian military strikes on three oil refineries in southern Russia overnight into Friday. In addition, Russian authorities said a man was killed in Ukrainian shelling of Russia's Belgorod region, which borders Ukraine. However, the Western NATO military alliance is concerned that Russia's attacks on Ukraine will intensify with the support of several Asian countries, said Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
Putin's visits to North Korea demonstrates and confirms the very close alignment between Russia and the authoritarian states like North Korea, but also China and Iran. And this also demonstrates that our security is not regional, it's global. What happens in Europe matters for Asia, and what happens in Asia matters for us. And this is clearly demonstrated in Ukraine, where Iran, North Korea, China are propping up, fueling Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine.
U.S. State Secretary Antony Blinken had a message for Beijing.
If China in particular, which professes to have a strong interest in ending the war, if it really means it, it will stop fueling the war machine and will continue to do everything we can to cut off the support that countries like Iran and North Korea are providing.
But these words have done little to end the rising death toll, with the governor of eastern Ukraine's partly occupied Donetsk region saying Saturday that Russian attacks had killed five people and wounded seven the previous day. In the Russia-controlled part of the area, the Moscow-installed governor said three people were killed and four were injured in shelling by Ukrainian forces Saturday morning local time. Kiev also said a policeman was killed in the partly occupied region of Kherson, near the occupied Crimea Peninsula, as a result of a Russian drone attack on a checkpoint. And with the war far from over, more deaths and destructions were expected. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Be sure to stay with us tomorrow for the Pope's Sunday Angelus address, greeting the faithful in St. Peter's Square. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.